Okay. So a few interesting points are brought up in this verse and also in the purport brought out in the purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So in this verse it's saying Lord Chaitanya was obsessed with the madness of separation. He acted erroneously and talked deliriously. And then in the purport Prabhupada is explaining that the materialists cannot understand this. And it's a very instructive statement here. He says their problem is that they always engage in material sense gratification and can never understand the feelings of the devotees and the Lord. Okay. So we have these scriptures, we have these pastimes that we hear, we have the understanding, the philosophy, the tattva. We have also so many exchanges of devotion between the Lord and His devotees, as explained here. But these things are not understood due to intellectual prowess. It actually requires mercy, it requires sukriti, it requires a particular adhikar. And the specific point or the specific block or obstacle to developing that understanding is sense gratification, right? The essential reason why people cannot understand, accept, or progress in their devotional career or life is due to the attachment to sense gratification. Attachment to sense gratification is the essential symptom of our envy of Krishna. The sense gratification is our symptom of our envy of Krishna. And to the extent, whether it's gross or subtle, to the extent that there is sense gratification, to that extent we hold ourselves back from making substantial spiritual progress. Or we move forward, but it's like an anchor which is dragging us back into previous activities or causing us to move forward very, very slowly. So the primary enemy of the devotee, the primary enemy of every living entity, the primary cause of their suffering is lust. Like that. It's all devouring enemy. And as we come to Krishna consciousness, as we try and understand and gain entrance into these extraordinary pastimes, entrance into the chanting, we have to always look to see that we're minimizing and ultimately eradicating sense gratification. If it doesn't go, the devotee does not move forward in their spiritual life. And if they don't move forward, eventually the devotee will start to hanker for some taste in something. And that is the cause of the reignition of their materialistic endeavor. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha, Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaunitai Guru Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada Tosim Hanuman Ki Jai. Because the devotee or the living entity, let's say, is an Andamaya Biyasab, we are pleasure seeking by nature. So if we're not progressing in the spiritual path, at particular point, we will hanker more and more for material engagement. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says that the materialistic demeanor can never approach a supreme autocrat. Okay? Which is another way of saying this same point. That by material consciousness, one can't actually gain entrance into understanding the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. This adhikar that people have, that a person can have to understand, it comes from the devotion and it comes from the devotees, which is why even there is this pastime of the very simple illiterate Brahmin who was told by his guru to study Bhagavad Gita and he couldn't read, but he was looking at the picture and he was crying, thinking about how Krishna was so kind, so compassionate, so caring, that he would act as the charioteer of his own devotee. And he was told that he actually understands the philosophy. In other words, as Krishna says to Arjuna, Bhakto sime sakasati rahasyam hetu dutamam. You can understand this rahasyam, this transcendental mystery. Why? Bhakto sime saka. Because you are my devotee and you are my friend. So the only way that we will get entrance into this is to understand Krishna through devotion, through serving the devotees. In this purport, Prabhupada speaks about the Gauranga Nagaris, who are They're actually one of the 13 upper sampradayas, which are mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it's interesting, there's some points I wanted to share in relation to that. Let's see. So all of these were deviations that sprang after the time of Lord Chaitanya, such as the caste Brahmins, etc. And so one of them, the Gauranga Nagaris. And I'll read some points that Prabhupada makes in different places in relation to them. Okay, so this is from a letter to Sasrup Das Goswami by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya, because he is Krishna himself, somebody worships him in the same manner as Krishna. But Krishna was in the role of enjoyer, and Lord Chaitanya is in the role of being enjoyed. So the party known as Gauranga Nagari, they are considered to be deviated from pure devotional service on account of Lord Chaitanya giving the same facility of Krishna, which he did not like. Our service mood should be compatible to the attitude of the Lord. Not that we should overlap the attitude of Krishna to Lord Chaitanya, or Lord Chaitanya to Krishna, or Krishna to Ramachandra, or Ramachandra to Krishna. Therefore, in the Shastras, specific injunctions are there, just like to worship Lord Chaitanya is by the method of chanting Hare Krishna. So the Gauranga Nagaris, what they do is sometimes they'll place Lord Chaitanya where Lord Krishna is and have Lord Chaitanya surrounded by gopis, etc. So this is a form of rasa bas, a clashing of mellows. Because Lord Chaitanya, as we know, Radha Bhava Duty Suvalitam. He is Krishna, but what? Radha Bhava Duty. He is in the mood and luster of Srimati Radharani. So he is coming as a devotee. So it's a very interesting philosophical point. You can never fully understand why someone loves you. Right? Why? Because when someone loves you, you are the object. Right? You're the object of their love. So they are perceiving you from the external point of view, and they are relishing particular qualities, attributes that they perceive in you from their position. Right? So in that mood, Lord Chaitanya wants to come, or Krishna wants to come, because he wants to take the position of the enjoyed, so he can perceive Krishna, right, as a servant in that mood. In a further verse, later on in this same chapter, I'll just read it to you. It's a very interesting statement that's made. And it's actually Krishna, one of Krishna's observations about Srimati Radharani. And he says here, this is in verse, 126 of the same chapter. He says, whatever pleasure I get from tasting my love for Srimati Radharani, she tastes 10 million times more than me by her love. And a further point that's made in Krishna book by Srila Prabhupada, he actually explains that the devotees of the Lord enjoy hundreds of thousands of millions of times more than the Lord himself. Right? Because they are the enjoyed. Right? They are perceiving him and they have the opportunity to render service. So this clashing of mellows, this mixing of the position of Lord Chaitanya, who is in the mood of the enjoyed, with Lord Krishna, who is the supreme enjoyer, this is a big mistake. And being an aprasampradaya, it also leads to three distinct issues or problems, which are outlined by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his literature called Vaishnava K. And I'll just read that. Okay. So there are three inauspicious qualities that are ever prominent in aprasampradayas. Okay. And they are anitya vaibhava, which is hankering for material success, kaminira karma, illicit sexual affairs that are usually passed off as transcendental, and mayavad, or philosophical speculation that undercuts the personal nature of God as taught by the Vaishnava sampradayas. So it's not just a subtle thing. From the subtle points or subtle deviations, they lead or they manifest in gross deviations also. So Prabhupada is kind of outlining that there are concoctions which one has to be very, very careful of as they try to make advancement in spiritual life. A few other points. Okay, so ultimately we understand that it's only by purity that we will be able to understand Krishna. It is also the case that what is understood by devotees are based upon their level of advancement, and also, which completely relates based upon the mode they're in, right? What is what that which is considered self-evident truth is actually based upon the particular mode of a devotee, right? It's interesting, there are some... I wrote to Pankajangri Prabhu recently. So I was asking a question, and he made a point. It was about how we understand as devotees, how we understand how we've been blessed and what particular service we should do in relation to that, to the blessings that we receive. And he made a very important point. He said that if one has been blessed in a particular way for a particular service, he said one he would expect that one would automatically have an intuitive understanding also as to what one should be doing based upon that particular blessing or empowerment. Right? So this is where it begins to get very kind of subtle. Right? So you had this idea is that you may receive a certain empowerment or a certain blessing, he would expect that the devotee who's been blessed in that way, he said, well, the point is that generally all devotees are empowered. Let's go back a step. All devotees are empowered. It's simply a question of degree and what they're empowered for. The point he was making is that special empowerment is given by Krishna or Krishna's advanced devotees. And he was saying that if one is blessed or empowered in a particular way, what he would expect the one would have an intuitive understanding. So this leads to a further, more subtle aspect of Krishna consciousness, because what you may perceive or understand based upon certain signs that may be given, another person who may not be in the same mode or may not have the same level of adhikar, to them it may not in any way be conclusive or in any way symbolize or indicate something. You see the point? So therefore, we have to really go deep in our Krishna consciousness so we can sometimes more easily understand the indications that are coming from Krishna. And, however, to further clarify that, we should always get confirmation from advanced devotees. That's how it stops becoming just a subtle speculation. But we should be careful not to think that what can be perceived by one person, if we can't see it, therefore it's a load of nonsense. Right? Because it's also based upon the particular qualification. Someone told me recently, it was an interesting situation. So Radhanath Maharaj, he was there was one of his disciples, a very good disciple, and he was trying to find a suitable partner for them. So he was praying to the deities, and he got a particular indication from the deities. Right? Something happened, and then he made some inquiries to the marriage council, and they all, and what they did is, because the indication of deities indicated that a particular devotee would be good for this other devotee who he was trying to find a partner for. So then he approached the marriage council, and they did the astrology, and the astrology said it's a terrible match, right? They said, no way, we won't recommend this at all. And they checked a few times, and every time the indications were this would be a terrible combination. The last astrologer they checked said that this would be did the same thing. They'll said it would be a terrible combination except for one thing. It said the indication in this chart shows that if both people do this as a service to their guru, right, on that one platform, they can work like that. You know, it was very, very interesting. But the confirmation had come. Right? But because of the adhikar, it could be understood, it could be captured. Right? So there are deeper and deeper realms of spiritual life, but they are accessed based upon adhikar. Right? And therefore everyone's spiritual experience is actually very, very different. Right? And this is also very, very exciting. There's no limit to how much we can experience in spiritual life. It is simply a question of how much we're prepared to trade sense gratification for service. Right? It is that simple. Entrance into spiritual life, into Krishna consciousness, is based upon the degree to which we're prepared to give up sense gratification and the degree to which we're prepared to take up a mood of genuine, sincere, selfless, devotional service. And to that extent, more and more and more is accessible, and it's a whole other universe that we can explore, engage in, and serve. That's one point. A further point is this statement that Prabhupada makes here. He says, materialists are most abominable in their ideas. Now, it's a small statement, but this is like a sutra. I remember I was speaking to one person who used to work in our organization, my employment organization, and they ended up having an abortion, right? And it was very sad, actually, but it was instructive, the words that they used, right? They had an abortion. Their idea was that, I'm not in a position to, take care of a child, etc., etc. And then they said this statement. They said that, I know it's only a collection of cells, actually, because they were really distraught and disturbed about it. And said, I know that really it's just a collection of cells, right? But, etc., etc., etc. But this is a point that's being addressed here by Srila Prabhupada. Right? And this is such a crucial point. Materialists are most abominable in their ideas. The reason why people can do these things is because they have a conception and an ideology that supports that kind of behavior. Right? Because the idea is there that it's not a real being. Right? You haven't actually murdered the child in the womb. Right? It was just a collection of cells. It wasn't alive. Therefore, we can do this, there's no problem, right? Similar point, actually. The idea, because we said Vaishnava K, Bhaktisiddhanta said that there's three things that sprout from this apasampradayic understanding. And one of them is Mayavad, he says, impersonalism. And that's also an ideology that becomes very dangerous. We look out into this world and we see that there is more and more atheism, right? And we think, where does it come from? One of the causes of atheism is Mayavad. Right? Because when you depersonalize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you can do anything. Right? It's the same psychology. So you look at Nazi Germany, what happens? The Jews, they're not real people, right? I think that's one of the terms that was used is Goyim, they're cattle, right? They're not real people. They do not have real feelings. They're not, they're not like us. Therefore, if you abuse them, persecute them, destroy them, it's okay. Right? When you depersonalize someone, it's usually the precursor to abuse, right? But we should remember, this is why Prabhupada, when he's speaking about the Supreme, he doesn't even just say God, he doesn't even say Krishna, it is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He hammers the point again and again and again, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? There's a very different mood, a very different connotation that comes from that. So you're dealing with a real person. Right? When we chant, all of our services, when we're serving on the altar, when we're interacting with his devotees, his family, you're dealing with a real person. Right? A real thinking and feeling person. One devotee told me that Krishna is so soft-hearted, he can't even chastise a living entity himself, so he gets Maya to do it on his behalf. Right? He just feels too too sensitive or considerate or soft-hearted, he can't do it. So therefore, that service is given to Maya. Right? We're dealing with a real person. And this is an understanding that can empower every field of our devotional service. Everything. Huh? When we're chanting Hare Krishna, what is our understanding? That name is alive. Right? That name, Krishna, that name is actually alive. It's a real individual, a real thinking and feeling person. Right? And with that conception, that understanding, then we're more careful about our interactions and our dealings with that. Because we know we're dealing with someone who's cognizant, sentient, and who feels and is aware. And therefore, naturally, it raises our level of attentiveness and our level of care and service to that Supreme Personality in whatever manifestation that he is presenting himself. A few more points in relation to this term, Garanga Nagari, Amnagara. Because actually, and this is from the previous purpose to CC, Nagara means enjoyer. Right? So Prabhupada says, from the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, an intelligent person engaged in pure devotional service can understand that he always felt separation from Krishna within himself. In that separation, he sometimes felt that he had found Krishna and was enjoying the meeting. The significance of this separation and meeting is very specific. If someone tries to understand the exalted position of Lord Chaitanya without knowing this, he is sure to misunderstand it. One must first become fully self-realized. Otherwise, he may misidentify the Lord as Nagara, or the enjoyer of the damsels of Raja, thus committing the mistake of rasa bas, or overlapping understanding, as from the previous verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's further misunderstandings that the Garanga Nagaras have. And this is one point that was given by Suhotra Prabhu. He was explaining that they actually started also to worship Vishnu Priya. Right? And they would consider that they claimed that she was Radharani, and that also her close female friends were are gopis, okay? But this is actually very different from the points which are made in the Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur, in which he explains that Vishnu Priya is actually Bhushakti, she's a manifestation of Lakshmi Devi, and that the associates of Gauranga in Nadia, they attended to Vishnu Priya in her bathing and other services in exactly the same way in which the maid servants of Lakshmi Devi attend to her in Vaikuntha, in the Vaikuntha realm. So there's all kinds of subtle misunderstandings. And this leads to a further point which is made here. Because Prabhupada says, doctrines like those of the Nadia Nagaris, a class of so-called devotees, are never presented by authorized persons like Sri Damodar or the six Goswamis. Okay. In other words, we are Rupanugas. We are taking everything on the basis of authority. It is actually explained by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Bhakti Tattva Viveka that the statements of self-realized souls are the foremost authority. Right? The foremost authority. And the Goswamis in their Sandarbhas, they explain that Shastra itself has a source, right? Vyuddha Pratyaksha. The source of Shastra is the direct perception of self-realized souls, right? Therefore, as it's explained here, authorized persons, Srupa Damodar, the six Goswamis, they are the primary evidence. What they say goes, what the Mahajans say stands supreme over everything. An example, Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadi Adi Govinda Savakarana Karanam. The Ishvara Parama, the Supreme Controller, is Krishna. This is what? That is the direct perception of Lord Brahma. This is what we mean. Shastra itself has a source, Vyuddha Pratyaksha, the direct perception of self-realized souls. So everything is coming in that sense. Now, furthermore, we may say, well, if that is the case, then what about the defects? Because this is talking about misunderstandings. It says here, the materialists, however, cannot understand. Right? They're not able to perceive things properly. Because due to materialistic activity, the four defects are active. But when the devotees are engaged in devotional service, by engaging in devotional service and becoming purified, they overcome the four defects. The self-realized souls, the purified devotees, the Siddha Bhaktas, they're not perceiving using mundane material senses. Their perception is spiritual. It's their perception and their interactions are taking place with spiritualized or pure senses. So what they perceive is considered to be non-different from Shastra in that respect. Okay, let's see a few other points we can draw from this. So it says here, the problem is they always engage in material sense gratification and can never understand the feelings of the devotees and the Lord. Okay, so even in the external world, we have this principle of projection, right? So Prabhupada says, Atmavam manyate jagat. Everyone sees the world according to their own position. Atmavam manyate jagat. So, for example, a greedy person sees everything else in relation to that, right? Even the greedy devotee. Right? I'm a devotee and I'm trying to hold everything for myself. Therefore, I can see this devotee is collecting all of these things together. He must be hoarding. Right? Let's see. There's a very interesting series of statements made by Bhaktivinoda Thakur about the different classes of disciple. And there's one class of disciple where they advertise their guru, right? But they're advertising their guru as a way of means of indirectly advertising themselves, right? You understand the point? My guru is great, right? And I'm close to my guru. You know what that means? It means that I'm great also, right? In fact, you know, my guru is great. You know why he's great? Because I'm his disciple, right? That's his claim to fame. Because I'm his disciple, I'm also, you know, he's also great, right? I've glorified him by accepting initiation from him, right? And it relates to this point. My guru is going around and, you know, he's famous and, you know, there's some promotion, right? So therefore, because he's doing it, I can do it, right? Whatever purpose he has, because he thinks like me. So it's okay to glorify myself. They don't understand, they project. Right, the anatta that's present in that person's heart, they then project onto their guru, but in the reverse sense, right? So it's verified, right? I'm justified in self-glorification because guru does it, without understanding that the purpose behind the advanced devotee's activity and the purpose behind a neophyte devotee's activity are very, very different. It's a similar point, this misunderstanding. They see the activity, but not the consciousness with which the activity is performed. This is why one has to be very, very careful. We see the activity, but not necessarily the consciousness with which the activity is performed. So Prabhupada talks about, he differentiates between following the instructions and imitation. Right? He differentiates. Actually, we should imitate, right? But when he differentiates, what he means specifically is that there are certain things that we do imitate. The guru and the pure devotee are chanting every day. We should chant every day, right? So we're following instructions and we're imitating, actually. But the things which are distinct to their level of advancement, we do not copy, right? Prabhupada is giving a talk, and the microphone is falling off the stand. Prabhupada turns to his disciple and says, "Give me your Brahman thread." And he uses his disciple's Brahman thread to hold the microphone to the stand, right? He, you know, if, you know, someone who's just very much into Vedic rules and regulations, that would blow their mind, right? They would make all kinds, you know, what kind of guru is this, right? The sacred Brahman thread, he's using it to hold the microphone in place. That's distinct to his level of realization and purity. We don't imitate that. Right? But certain things which are, in a more basic sense, instruction, and that are not just instruction, but which are being modeled by the pure devotee, attending Mangalati every day, bowing down before the deities, those things we do imitate, we do follow. But those things we understand are safe to do. Why? Because we're imitating. Why? Because we're seeing the pure devotee doing it and they have instructed us to do it. Because both things are there, therefore we follow. Not that they do it, and it's not an instruction, but we want to copy it as well. Okay. Let's see if there's any other points we can draw out from this point. Okay. Materialists, as we said, are most abominable in their ideas. This Prabhupada writes here, they think that they can enjoy directly perceivable gross objects by their senses. Now, this is actually very interesting. Is it actually possible to enjoy the gross material world? Right? There's an ideology and there's a hope. But have you seen it actually happen? Right? Have you seen the people engage in gross material sense gratification, and is it the case that they are actually enjoying? Think about this point very carefully, because you could argue that it's not true. You could argue that there is no real enjoyment. There's no enduring enjoyment in sense gratification. There's stimulation, which is different. In the introduction to Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, sorry, Prabhupada explains that there is such a thing as material happiness, but it is Chapala Sukha, he uses that term. Chapala Sukha means it's flickering, right? It does not endure. Now, we can understand further to that that the very thing that causes someone to enjoy now can be the very thing that causes them to suffer later on. Is the very thing that causes them to suffer later on, right? Because sense gratification is not just the event, but it's also the samskara that is left in the consciousness. That is why the devotee is constantly trying to give up sense gratification in the external world, and they're trying to give up sense gratification in the internal world also. Huh? Because otherwise, the meditation leads to the activity, can bring about the activity. We're meant to cleanse ourselves externally. Lord Chaitanya, Gandhicha Margin, what does he do? He's cleaning the temple outside, and then he goes back again and tries to get all the fine points, right? That means there is that is symbolizing or representing the giving up of gross sense gratification and then working out to weed out all the subtle sense gratificatory desires that are within the heart. Huh? It requires one to be more and more and more selfless. And further to that, what is the activity or the sadhana that will achieve that? The sadhana is service, is preaching. The preaching mission is meant to squeeze out of the living entity all vestiges of selfishness. Right? So don't think it's something different. Don't think that when you're struggling in trying to preach, don't even think that when people reject or criticize when you're trying to preach, don't think that that's something other than part of the process of purification. It is an integral part of the process of purification. Think about this point. What are we doing here in this world? Why have we come here? The living entity has come to this world because we were envious of Krishna, right? We wanted to be the center, right? We didn't want to serve him. We wanted to be served. Huh? What is the purpose of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness? Right? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the mission to induce the living entities of this world to engage or to render service to Krishna, right? What does that mean? It means, in other words, the mission of Srila Prabhupada, the mission of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is to induce the living entities of this world to accept the very person they have come here to reject. Right? That's very audacious. Right? To accept the person they came here deliberately to get away from. Right? So it is a very great mission. Right? And it is calling upon the original nature of the soul and calling distinctly against the conditioning of the living entity in this world. So it's a real ideal, it's like a form of ideological warfare. It's a form of ideological warfare. And one of our primary statements or one of our primary understandings is that if you don't serve Krishna, there's no way you're going to be happy. There will be no deep level lasting happiness. It is not that it's not going to happen. It's that it's not possible, right? The conception of material that sense gratification will lead to material happiness is not a conception. It's actually a misconception. It is a fundamental misconception, and the entire material world is working on that misconception, right? Because the propaganda is such, because people are taught that idea, yes, if you just get the right arrangement of material circumstances, you will be happy. Their whole life is empowered by that conception. Therefore, Prabhupada is so heavy on the preaching and so heavy on distributing the books. Why? Because if you uproot the misconception, the whole activity will change. You see, so education and preaching isn't a small thing. There are many people who criticize Prabhupada. What, you know, all of this book distribution, you know, you're going on Harinam, you're talking to people, right? But when are you going to do some real service, Prabhu? You know, there's people dying out there, right? There's people dying out there. There's people homeless. There's people who don't have food, right? Well, you know, it's nice that you guys are talking. It's nice you've written a few books. But when are you going to roll your sleeves up and do something real for the people, right? But Prabhupada, this is the real activity, right? Because the hospitals and, you know, the repairing people's bodies, that does not solve the problem, right? People want to have, you know, abortions. Sometimes people want to leave the world because they're struggling. But you know what? That doesn't solve the issue. Because if your karma is such that you're meant to suffer, then all that happens is you continue to suffer again and again and again. This eradicates the problem from the root. You see the point? So spiritual life is the ultimate solution. And we have no hesitation in pointing that out to everyone and anyone. This is a real solution. Otherwise, you patch the person's body up, they go into another situation, they struggle again. Where I work, my manager, so he had cancer, and then what happened was, you know, recently they told him they were going to amputate the leg, right? The idea being you amputate the leg, you stop the cancer from spreading. So just 2 days ago, my manager called me, and, you know, it's the head of the organization who had cancer. So my manager called me, and there was a staff meeting recently. I wasn't present, but he gave me an update. So they decided not to amputate the leg of the CEO, right? So practically speaking, the reason why they decided not to amputate the leg is there's no point. Why is there no point? Because the cancer has spread. Cancer has spread, what does that mean? It means he's going to pass away, right? He's going to die. Now, we may think, oh, it's a shame, that's, you know, it's very unfortunate. But factually speaking, can anyone in this room say that they're not going to leave this world before he does? Is there anyone here who can say, could you say, yes, it's a shame, you know, he hasn't got much time, but my situation is different. Anyone? No. Again, ideological warfare. But when you look at the way that things are promoted in this world, the whole advertising, everything, you've got forever, right? You're going to be here forever. You know, get your, you know, plan this, put your money, save for retirement. We're going to be here forever. Is that a fact? Is that a fact? So when we see the behavior, our behavior, the behavior of other devotees, the behavior of every living entity, you can trace it back to ideology. Right? Even the ignorance, you can trace it back to ideology. But this gives the devotee great hope. Just as you can trace back bad habits and bad behavior due to ideology, you can empower good habits, good behavior, and spiritual acceleration similarly on the basis of ideology. In other words, if we study Prabhupada's books deeply, that will make a transformation in our consciousness. It will transform the samskaras, the impressions in our consciousness, and it will practically transform the way that we behave and the destiny that we're kind of moving towards. There was a very nice point that one devotee was making recently about how Krishna, by one surrendering to in devotional service, Krishna can minimize their karma and they have opportunities to do extraordinary things. And we see that. Right? You see the devotees are doing extraordinary things. Sometimes a devotee is doing extraordinary things and when they leave, their life just becomes very narrow again. They become basically a non-entity. Right? And it's proof that when they were surrendering, under that shelter of Lord Chaitanya and the movement and the empowerment of the Vaishnavas, let me be very clear, empowerment means the Vaishnavas, not just Srila Prabhupada, every devotee. They're achieving extraordinary things in Krishna's service. Right? And this is also why we have to be so careful not to offend the Vaishnavas. And this is also why we have to be so careful to really develop the mood of selfless service to the Vaishnavas. Otherwise, you won't be happy. Right? There'll be no question. And all of these other things, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says here, these things come up. Anitya vaibhav, for example, hankering for material success. And that doesn't necessarily mean the materialists in the world. Hankering for material success can also mean the devotees, right? Who's the best devotee? Oh, he's got a position, right? Have you noticed he's got a position, right? And, you know, devotees, they, you know, they get, you know, they bring prasadam to him, right? They're a bit more respectful. But no one does that for me, you know. I know, I've got the solution. I should try and get a position as well, right? And these are all substitutes. These are all substitutes. And the substitute does not, the substitution effect does not bring happiness. Now, there's a difference between getting position or taking on a position out of service, because the mood is, I want to serve. That's not what we're criticizing. But when I'm hankering for position so I can have power and control and people can look up to me and adore me, then you're in trouble. Because when we go for these things, again, these substitutes, right? They'll never actually bring happiness. Ultimately, the only thing that will bring happiness is acting on the pure platform, which is what? Jivarasrupa Krishnaranitya Das. Huh? The living entity, every living entity, devotee, non-devotee, makes no difference. Every single living entity, without exception, is an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we try and work on that, meticulously every day, we'll experience more and more of Krishna's reciprocation. Right? The miracle will become the norm. And as we said, the empowerment to achieve more and more in Krishna's service will also be there. Right? This is all Krishna's reciprocation to the devotees. This is Prabhupada's reciprocation to the devotees. And they want to give more and more and more. But we have to make ourselves more and more available by purifying ourselves more and more. So when we're chanting, when we're serving the Vaishnavas, when we're before the deities, taking darshan, serving the deities, all of these things will qualify us, because they are going against the conditioning that separates us from Krishna. They're going against the desire for sense gratification, which is, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, that is lust. The desire to gratify our own senses is lust. And the desire to gratify the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that exclusive understanding, that's actually love. That's love. Right? But be very clear on this point. That isn't, when we say Krishna, that when we talk about the desires to gratify the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be very clear that Krishna is never alone. Right? Be very clear that Krishna is never alone. Krishna is always with his devotees. And Krishna, he cannot be approached directly. We only get the opportunity to approach Krishna through his devotees. So when the devotees, when the spiritual master, when his divine grace Srila Prabhupada is pleased, then we know that Krishna is pleased. Right? And when they're pleased, then we will be satisfied. Keshava Bhati Maharaj, he asked Prabhupada once, he said, Prabhupada, how do we know that Krishna is pleased? And it's very interesting, because he expected the answer that Prabhupada will normally give, which is that you know that Krishna is pleased when the spiritual master is pleased. And Prabhupada turned to him and said that you know that Krishna is pleased, or you know that Krishna is satisfied when you're satisfied. Right? And he was shocked. And then Prabhupada was explaining that Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke, because the living entity is an eternal part and parcel of Krishna, that when Krishna is actually satisfied, then the devotee in the spiritual sense will feel a sense of satisfaction. Right? In other words, Machita Matkata Prana Bodhayanta Parasram Kapayantischa Mam Nityam Tusyanticha Ramanticha. Same statement as Bhagavad Gita. The devotees are experiencing great bliss and satisfaction in enlivening one another about Krishna. So we have a supreme science, and one of the reasons why we should be hopeful, even when you see even so-called materialists who have intense material enjoyment, don't be fooled. Because factually speaking, they can't be happy. They cannot have deep level lasting satisfaction. Right? And that's why you see sometimes people who are extremely wealthy, famous, but they're still coming to that. They want to chant Hare Krishna. They want to read the philosophy. We went on Harinam years ago. We were on Harinam just near Soho Street Temple. I walked by this homeless person. He was sitting on the floor, you know, disheveled. And he said to me, he said, you know, he said, I was in a meeting recently, Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And he said, you know what, you never guess who was sitting next to me. I said, who? He said, Robbie Williams. Right? So it's like that. It's like that. It doesn't mean, you know, just because people have money, it does not mean they're going to be happy. It does not give happiness. As Prabhupada says, chapala sukha, some flickering happiness, but it is not the same as the ecstasy of the devotees. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaurantai Guru from Brajavala Prabhupada Samarana ki Jai. Okay, so we want to uproot the materialistic demeanor within ourselves, and we want to present the philosophy in such a way that more and more people can get free of the misconception of material happiness and experience the real glory of spiritual life. I'll just share one last point. Someone told me recently, actually this morning, which I thought would be nice to share. So some devotees were, I think, on Sankirtan. They met some young person, and he's very sincere, and they gave him the mantra to chant. And so he was chanting it. I think he chanted for 30 minutes. And he sent a text message to the devotee, right? And he said, you know, he said, you know, they told him about the mantra. He said, okay, I'll give it a try. It was very open. And he sent the devotee a text message, I think last night, and they shared this morning. And the text message was, you know, I've been chanting this mantra. I chanted it for 30 minutes. And he says, I chanted for 30 minutes, and for the next 40 minutes, I was crying and laughing. He said, what is this mantra that you've given me? You know, it's like that. Right? I chanted for 30 minutes, and I spent the next 40 minutes crying and laughing. You know, crying and laughing. You know? It was very interesting. So don't underestimate the power of this Krishna consciousness. Yeah? There's so much there. It's so rich. So rich. That anyone, no matter what their situation, if they take to this process sincerely, if they take to this process sincerely, there'll be extraordinary, brilliant, rich spiritual experiences and adventures. Far more exciting than anything you could experience, no matter how much money or material influence. Far greater, much greater, and much deeper, and much more nourishing and powerful. And then also, not only can you experience it yourself, but you can also give it to other people. You can give it to other people by preaching. You can give it to other people even by association. There's one devotee, when he started coming to Krishna consciousness, he would speak to his family. He didn't even tell them he was a devotee. He would just speak to them about, you know, about behavior. You should behave like this. And he was explaining that his youngest brother one time went to him and said, you know, he said, even when you're not with me, he said, I feel like you're always there with me. You're constantly there watching me, guiding me and correcting my behavior. Right? In other words, what was happening is by association, by sympathy, devotion is what's the term that one devotee used? Bhakti is transmitted from one sympathetic soul to another. Just by association, what this other person was experiencing was a super soul. By the association, by the favorable receptivity, what he was experiencing was a super soul, right? Just by association. Anyway, so we'll stop there. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Jayanta Gopram Nandi, Hari Haripo. Any questions or comments, please? Yes.